This is a Triple J podcast.
Prescription pills, it was alcohol, it was ice, it was G.
That may be the view of young people, it's not the view of our government.
If I don't meet a girl, it's pretty hard to tell her that I'm uncontactable.
To connect, to have a good time, to dance it off like nobody's watching.
This is going to have an effect for generations to come.
Right, welcome to the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. It is so good to be here. Thank you so much for joining us. Bit of culture to wrap up this week. Little bit here, little bit there. Here's a bit of a taste of what's coming up.
Hack. All politicians should be mandated to share their Spotify rap.
I was invited by TikTok Australia as a content creator.
And let's just say I will not be coming back.
Travis Kelce said that he and Taylor Swift have never had a fight.
And I've met way more nicer Australians in the smaller towns than I did living in Sydney.
On Triple J.
Yeah, later this story that's left a lot of people in disbelief, I've got to say. Shocked, surprised, suspicious maybe. Travis Kelce claiming he and Taylor Swift have never once had an argument in the 2.5 years they've been together. Do you believe this? And if it is true, is it healthy? Because some people are saying, I don't trust it. It's a red flag. Maybe you never argue with your partner and your friends find that strange. If that's the case, let us know. 0439 757 555. Tell us about it. But before we get to that chat, let's meet our shake-up crew for the week. And with us from Melbourne, co-host of the Culture Club pod, fashion and culture writer, Maggie Zhao. How are you?
I'm going so well, Dave. I'm so happy to be back.
You've had a massive week. I've been just seeing Maggie stuff everywhere. I'm like, oh, she's there, she's there. She's got heaps to talk about, to do, which is part of the reason you're on the shake-up this week, because we've had a bit to say about the Spotify stuff, which we'll get to in a minute. But how has this week been? Has it felt full on? Are you ready for the weekend?
I'm ready for the weekend because I'm seeing Lady Gaga tomorrow, which is going to be a highlight. But you're right, it's been a jam-packed news week.
Someone who I know is probably a little bit jealous that you're seeing Lady Gaga is our next shake-up guest, journalist at 7 News, Daniel Helian.
I have to wait a whole week.
Oh, so you're going too?
100% going.
Okay.
Wouldn't miss it.
In Sydney?
Yep.
Ah, nice. Yep. How's your week been, Daniel?
I've had a couple of days off because I'm working this weekend.
Okay.
So we've got to enjoy the Sydney sun, which is nice.
Okay.
The shoulders are burnt to a crisp.
So Daniel enjoying Sydney, Maggie enjoying Melbourne, and message us wherever you're listening across Australia. It has been a big week. I've definitely felt it and I'm ready for this weekend. Daniel, you're one of the people that works through the weekend. We often get messages in from listeners saying, oh, not all of us have the weekend off. Think about us. You're not wrapping up the week. The week's just starting for me.
Yep. No knockoff drinks for them or me.
Nah. So you're taking it easy tonight?
Yeah, I've got some weird thing on at the Opera House. I can't remember what it's called, but my friend wanted to go for the birthday. So
oh, fancy,
it's like
man.
A symphony. It's
okay.
Some kind of jazzy orchestra thing.
He's filled with culture. He'll be on the Culture Club pod next week, Maggie.
I'm jealous. Yeah, I want to go.
All right, let's get into some of these topics because there's some big ones to discuss. Let's go.
Hack. Spotify Rap's about to come out and I've just been listening to bullshit all year.
On Triple J.
Yeah, it is that time of year when your feeds are rammed with posts about the minutiae of everyone's listening habits. Are you one of Charlie XCX's most loyal fans? What's the unusual genre that makes you stand out from all your mates? And another random addition this year, how old are you according to your favourite tunes? Not everyone is into Spotify Wrapped this year. Some are saying it's time to get over these breakdowns. So why?
Hack.
Y'all want to see my Spotify Wrapped?
Oh my God, my Spotify Wrapped is so ass. Like,
can someone please tell Drake that we know he's paying Spotify to make everyone's top 5 Wrapped every single year?
This might sound dramatic, but I'm boycotting Spotify Wrapped this year.
I'm f***ing pissed off because my Spotify Wrapped is literally just thunderstorm noises for when I go to sleep.
When he told me I was 30 years old, it's just not true.
Triple J.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what you think of your Spotify Wrapped this year. Do you feel like it represented you? It really painted a picture of who you are as a person, what your music tastes are. What did you make of the age thing? Did they nail it or did they get it ridiculously wrong? And what's the strangest inclusion in yours? Call in 1300 055 36. You can message in to 0439 757 555. Hearing from you on Instagram. This is what Tori thinks.
Every year, I am so excited for Spotify Wrapped to come out. And every year, there are always haters on Instagram saying, no one cares about your Spotify Wrapped. Like, actually, I do care about my friend's Spotify Wrapped. I love to know what they've listened to throughout the year. I think it's really interesting. Let people have fun.
Okay, Tori, really, really laying down the law there with her thoughts on Spotify Wrapped. Ella didn't love hers this year.
Taylor Swift's The Life of a Showgirl album is apparently my third most listened to album of 2025, according to Spotify Wrapped, yet I have none of her songs saved. I don't listen to her music. I don't know if it was her, if it was big music. Everything feels so botched with Spotify Wrapped. I'm so angry.
I don't know if it was her, if it was Taylor, if it was big music. Who knows what it was? By the way, if anyone can prove to me that you are in Hack's top 1% of listeners, I will send you a personalised message. I've already been doing it, actually.
What did they get?
They get a nice message. You tell me a bit about yourself. It's kind of like a cameo appearance, and I really give you something special.
Personalised?
Absolutely personalised. Wow, okay. So let me know. Hit me up on socials, and I'll definitely deliver. This is The Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into some of the headlines of the week with podcaster, writer Maggie Zhao, journalist Daniel Helian. Depends. Maggie, I'm starting with you because you have an interesting take on all of this. I saw you on socials in a post for Cheek Media yesterday writing why I opted out of this year's Spotify Wrapped. What was behind it? Why did you opt out?
So this is a thing. I've been a big Spotify Wrapped fan for so many years. It's so fun seeing the shareable little things that you can share to socials. But for the last few weeks before it was going to come out, I just re-evaluated my relationship to it. And I think one of the biggest drivers for me was just how embedded tech is in my life and the way that I don't challenge it anymore. It's normal. It's accepted that we have this sort of fun surveillance put on us.
So you're kind of like, I want to take control over ownership of my music tastes again. I don't want to feel like the algorithms are dictating to me. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, completely. And that's the other thing. Like, these big tech companies are collating so much data about ourselves. They're data mining us and also selling on that data. I know it sounds scary, but I actually think we've become too accustomed to this. So I wanted to push back, as well as all the news about Spotify's founders investing in military AI tech and all that bad jazz.
Yeah, okay. Daniel, what are your thoughts on this? Can you see Maggie's point?
Absolutely. And credit to her for going out there and saying, you know, like, I feel like I'm having all these songs and creative things thrown in front of me that maybe I don't actually want or are suited to me. Fair enough. But by the same token, if we're going to start doing that, then we need to reconsider relationships with things like Instagram or TikTok. Uber Eats is another one. Like, it tells you, you've had this meal. What do you think you want next or want now? I kind of just see the lighter side of it all. Like, sure, the age thing was a bit of a crappy stunt.
What was yours?
41. But it kind of made sense because, like, I'm a gay man stuck in the early 2000s. So, like, yep, stacks up. And I think at the end of the day, if you want to try and find those independent artists or you want to find your own, you know, style, there are platforms for it. And at the end of that, you'll vote with your money. You'll take your money elsewhere. You won't subscribe to Spotify Premium. I don't subscribe to Spotify Premium. So I think that's why my whole list was a bit skewed this year. But yeah, credit to Maggie and, you know, those people that are going, actually, fair enough. This doesn't suit me. It's not who I am.
Yeah. Maggie, do you feel like you've got a lot of support with what you've said so far? Are there other people that you're talking to who are saying, yeah, there is a tiny bit of a revolt against big tech and what it's telling me about myself?
Oh, social media is always such a mixed bag, as you know. I've had some really great support from other people who feel fatigued similarly and are turning to other platforms for their streaming services. Of course, other people are still on the side of Spotify Wrapped, and I can't blame them. It's a lot of fun, but I think the tide is turning. I feel like I actually saw less Wrapped content on my socials from other people I was following this year.
Okay. I mean, a lot of the content I saw was the age thing, which is so funny. Someone on the text line now is like, I listened to Elvis twice and it made my listening age 89. I'm 24. It'll do it to you. It'll do it to you.
I want to know what songs, though.
Do you think the age thing is just a bit of rage?
It's a gimmick. And I did think about that, whether it was intentional or not. They got a bit of flack last year for, you know, the way that AI did put everything in front of the users. And maybe they went back, did a wholesale rethink, and then said, well, what's something that's, at the end of the day, they need to get people talking about the product.
Sharing,
and you know, it's worked.
I think an old listening age is actually cool, though. I think it's a flex, so own it.
Yeah, Maggie, do you think this is rage bait? That because we've been seeing a bit of that, you know, over the past year, I would say rage bait is one of the words of the year, the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year. Been seeing it a lot on TikTok, especially around marketing for businesses who are really pushing that stuff and driving up engagement. Do you think that's what this was?
I think there's a bit of that there. They know what's going to get the shares. I know that people are going to jump on their Instagram and shout their defences, and I think it worked. Look at us now.
Yeah, that's true. We've got some messages coming through. Someone says, I'm definitely in Hack's top 1%. Love that. Love to hear it. Another person says, Katy Perry was my third most listened to artist, and I've never even listened to her.
Wow.
What?
Okay. See, yeah, then it doesn't make sense at all, does it?
Accuracy issues. Another person says, I feel like Spotify Wrapped is another way to make people consume more. Since I've stopped consuming so much, I've actually enjoyed the music. That's interesting, because I have heard people talk about, you know, when they are using streaming platforms, maybe they're less likely to listen to an album and more likely to just jump from song to song. Yeah, okay.
That's what I find myself doing. Like, I just use it when I'm on the treadmill, and then apart from that, I'm listening to Triple J.
Of course you are. Of course you are. And, you know, no big tech here on Triple J. We've got real people who are deciding the music that you're listening to. It's not AI.
I'd like to meet AI Dave, though.
No, you wouldn't. You would not like to meet AI Dave, because AI Dave will never exist.
Hack. Another day, another major Australian brand massively failing women of colour. Let's talk about it.
On Triple J.
Yeah, it's the story that kept rolling, the TikTok Awards more than a week ago, but still so much talk about what happened at the event. Some of it has been around the energy of the awards, the food, the entertainment, the practicalities of it, but most of the headlines have been dominated by a controversy that forced TikTok to apologise.
Hack.
I will no longer be attending the TikTok Awards because I'm tired of being treated like this.
This has nothing to do with you. We don't need your photo. What are they going to do with your photo?
Why even invite us in those rooms? Why have us in those spaces if we're just going to be told you're not good enough?
It was just so embarrassing. What do you mean you didn't take any photos and you literally just shoved me off stage?
If you want to do an event for celebrities, go to the Arias, the Logies. Don't promote this as if it's for content creators.
On Triple J.
Yeah, a lot of controversy around these allegations of racially motivated exclusion at the TikTok Awards last week. Some creators, people of colour, saying they felt like they weren't wanted, told to get off the red carpet. TikTok has apologised, but it also said people were being rushed for safety reasons because of logistics, because of bad weather. What do you think of this? Message in 0439 757 555. Have you been seeing a lot of takes on your feed? Here's Kayla's thoughts.
The amount of comments that I have seen on TikTok of other white people saying that they don't think that it was racist, the way that that TikTok Australia person was treating those women of colour, is actually insane. It is not on white people to say what is and is not racist.
Yeah, it's the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, breaking down some of the headlines of the week with Maggie Zhao and journalist Daniel Helian. Maggie, a lot in this story. What do you think? I'm sure you've been like keeping across it over the past week.
Yeah, it's devastating news to see that these creators who were invited to this event were so mistreated. And when they took their story to social media, we had a lot of people tearing them down just for sharing their side of the story. I really applaud these women who stood up and shared their side, because it's really hard, especially as women of colour, and for them, especially black women, to do something like this.
I'm interested in your take, Maggie, you know, as a person of colour who's in the social media space, like, do you think the issue is people are seeing this as an incident in isolation, when for some people, maybe some of these creators, they've experienced things like this before?
Yeah, definitely not. I wish we could say that we live in a utopia, but of course, racism is alive and well in real life as well as on social media and in those spaces where those two things overlap, you know, the online world meets the real life world. It's also there. I think we see that in terms of event invites. We see that in terms of who's working with brands, and we see that at places like this.
Daniel, TikTok Australia put out a statement. It apologised to anyone who felt excluded or uncomfortable and says it appreciates the feedback, but it was also saying, oh, it was logistical issues here. There was a storm coming. We had to get people inside off the red carpet. What did you make of that statement?
I think the worst thing you can do is try and excuse that kind of behaviour. I don't know if Maggie's also watched the video that the TikTok creator put up and went through and explained it all and showed the moment. At the end of the day, regardless of everything else, it was just so poorly and unnecessarily handled by the staff member involved. So the creators had been shafted from one area to another, and they finally said, hey, what's going on? And the staff has said, the Paps are not going to be interested in you, when all he had to do was say, just wait a second, get a quick photo, and then please move on as fast as you can. That was all that was required. And TikTok, I think, trying to justify what happened and saying that there was chaos and the media scrum and everything else that was going on was just a bit of bad PR.
Do you think these events are like too big? There's like 5,000 people there, and they're all like, a lot of them are creators and people who want to be kind of the center of attention, or yeah, getting the most out of their experience there, obviously.
You're dealing with a room of egos, right? And people that make a living off their personality and their faces and their brand. So naturally you can understand why they want to get in front of the cameras. There's no excuse though for what appears to be a kind of sinister undertone of racism at the event.
What do you think, Maggie, in terms of how TikTok handled it? Obviously, it was days before this statement came out. Were you satisfied with what the statement said?
I think they really didn't take responsibility for this. They're kind of complaining that there were so many attendees, but of course, they're in charge of the numbers. This actually benefits them. TikTok Awards is essentially a marketing exercise for them. So I just don't think that's good enough. I think they could have seen the weather forecast days before as well. I just don't think that they actually even said the word racism, anything aligned to that.
It was, you know, so interesting seeing all the different takes on this. I saw Abby Chatfield commented after her partner, Kelly Holiday or Adam, was caught up in this. He was in footage that some people saw online. They were upset that he didn't intervene in this situation. Abby was saying he wasn't part of the conversation. Yeah. What did you think of how that all played out?
It goes back to rage baiting, doesn't it? And like trying to find a story in there. I think in this instance, Kelly Holiday was in the chaos. He was having his photo taken. He was away and, you know, at a distance for a lot of what was going on between the creators and the staffer. And I don't think it's particularly fair for people to pile on him and say he should have stood up when in actual fact he probably didn't hear or didn't see what was going on. But again, none of us were in the room. Only those people were. So,
any thoughts on this, Maggie?
I completely agree with Dan. I think people love to pile on Adam and Abby, really, unfortunately, and I don't think they deserve that at all. And I think that was another case of them just trying to dogpile on him.
It's kind of like if there's any link that people can make to that couple in particular, to Abby and Adam, they're making it and the headlines are out there and it's engagement. People are getting engagement through these stories. Look, we're going to move on.
Hack. Travis Kelce said that he and Taylor Swift have never had a fight in 2.5 years of their relationship.
Never once.
So 2.5 years together, not one argument.
And I don't know if this is like the toxic Aries in me, but doesn't a part of her miss screaming and fighting and kissing in the rain?
On Triple J.
Okay, I want to know what you think of this. Travis Kelce claiming that he and Taylor Swift have never once argued in 2.5 years of a relationship. He was speaking to George Clooney, the actor, who also claims he has never argued with his partner of 10 years, Amal Clooney. Is this possible? Is it a green flag or the biggest red flag possible? Because people have big opinions on this. There's been a lot of commentary. I want to know, do you and your partner argue a lot? Have you never argued? And if that's the case, how do you manage that? Call in 1300 055 36. You can message in to 0439 757 555. Here is Ben's opinion.
I think arguments in a relationship can be healthy as long as both sides are open to listening to each other's opinions and perspectives.
Okay, Ben taking very straight down the line approach there. Got so many text line is going off right now. Doug saying, me and my partner never argue. We have discussions about disagreements, but not arguments. It's a choice and a personality type. I would be worried if we did argue. Adam saying, I'm not an arguer. No need to. Isn't that normal? A lot of people saying, I get this. And someone else says, I've never had an argument with my partner. 4 years in and a lot of good communication. Right, maybe this is more normal than we think. This is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the headlines of the week with journalist Daniel Helian, podcaster and writer Maggie Zhao. Daniel, thoughts on this one?
I think he's being very smart because he's thinking, if there is a divorce album, I don't want the title track to be Screaming Match or Bitter Fight or something. You know, like he's seen what she's capable of writing and he's like, I'm going to just fall into line here. No, I think to your listener's point, there's a big difference between having a healthy argument and having a healthy debate. I don't know that there is such a thing as a positive argument, but there certainly is a spirited and educated debate.
You don't think you're going to have a healthy argument and like disagree and go head to head?
But that's a debate, right? Okay. An argument kind of implies a level of conflict, vitriol, confrontation that may be unhealthy. And, you know, if they don't fight, then good on them. Isn't that the nirvana of a relationship? Like, isn't that the ideal sweet spot where you just actually love each other? George Clooney said, you know, we don't argue because I've got the most intelligent, beautiful wife that there is to have. What's there to argue about?
Fair enough, fair enough. I mean, that sounds amazing. Maggie, what did you think of all this?
Oh, look, I don't know what to believe. I think they're lying, especially George Clooney, the way that he mentions this in every single interview.
Oh, is this not the first time? Does he bring this up quite a bit?
All the time, all the time. And my thing is, look, I think disagreements are healthy and having disagreements can be fun as well. I think it can veer. I think the word fight is quite dirty and that might be on the negative side, but let's embrace some disagreement.
Yeah, I guess you've got to define what is an argument, what's a debate, as Daniel was saying, what's a fight? Someone on the text line now says, my partner and I didn't fight until several years in. If they're able to afford cleaners and they don't spend every minute of every day together, it is quite reasonable to believe that they don't fight. That's true, Maggie. I mean, if you're rich, you're not having the day-to-day disagreements about stuff that's really annoying, maybe.
Yeah, and Travis and Taylor famously spend so much time apart because of touring, because of sport, etc. So maybe they just haven't been in the same space for long enough.
That's true. Someone is saying that on the text line. Maybe Taylor and Travis don't see each other enough to have any of these problems. Someone else, Georgie, says, me and my partner don't argue because I know I get easily mad. He stays calm and doesn't react to my antics, which tones me back down. It works every time. And another person says, 12 years together, rarely argue. I'm loving this. All the very healthy, lovely relationships we're seeing on the Triple J text line right now.
You've got good listeners with good hearts.
What do you think about friendships, Daniel? Because, like, is it the
same
thing?
Applies, right? Okay. Like, I don't think you want those toxic people that you're fighting with. As but Maggie said, that word, it is dirty. Like, it's... You don't want... There's a difference. There
don't
is a
you think
big
with,
difference.
With every good friend you've had, there's like one argument, like one big one that you've had 100%. That you're like, oh, that's defined the friendship. But we had the argument and overcame it.
That's because hopefully all the beautiful things about them outweigh that one crappy experience or, you know, fight.
Have we had our first argument yet?
You and I.
Yeah, in our friendship.
I'm sure we've had a big Italian rage situation over a dinner table.
I can't remember
somewhere.
It. And I definitely haven't had an argument with Maggie. So, and
not
I don't,
yet, Dave.
Could be by the end of this show. Why do you think people, Maggie, get so, I don't know, wound up about this, triggered by hearing that there's this couple that's clearly getting along?
Oh, it looks like they're having a mirror held up to them. I think we take our relationship so personally. So it's like, if their couple is doing that, like, what about my own relationship? But of course, we're all different. We're all in different relationships. It can't apply to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, there are some experts out there. I love with these articles, as soon as they go up, it's like, oh, and clinical psychologist, blah, 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 says this. I mean, we also do that on Hack, so I shouldn't really talk. But all of the professionals are out there and they're saying, oh, you need to be having some, like, arguments and disagreements, and it's healthy and it builds relationships. Hearing from people on the text line now, someone says many arguments or pressures in relationships stem from money pressures. Yeah, that's a common thought on the text line. Another person says, what would they have to argue about? No money issues. Someone else, I always knew rich people were better than me. Thanks for reminding me, George and Travis. Someone else says, I've never had a fight with my partner. I mean, I don't have one, so that's the reason.
Yeah, that's the best way to avoid it,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It's really quite stable and nice when you just don't have to worry about the other
argue
person.
Argue with yourself, internal monologue.
And that can be quite traumatic too. And someone else says, my wife and I have debates, arguments, hard times and good. Everyone is different. All right, we're going to move on.
Hack. In the city, no one will even make eye contact with you, whereas in the country, they literally lock you dead in the eye. And people wonder why the country people are always better.
On Triple J.
Yeah, are city people just rude? This is a national poll. I'm putting it out there. If you're in the city, if you're in the country, vote now. 0439757555. City people, they suck, don't they? Because one Australian has carried out an experiment that he thinks proves it. Dylan Stride from Sydney went on a coastal walk on the northern beaches of Sydney, decided to see how many people would acknowledge him when he was saying hi to them. Not many. After hours out there, only two. He's now moved to the Gold Coast and says people there have no problem having a chat, giving him a wave, asking how he is. So does this prove the point? If you're in the country, do you generally say hi to everyone you come across? Do you like that or do you find it weird? You hate the expectation that you've got to acknowledge everyone. And is it every city or is it just Sydney? 0439 757 555. Here is what James thinks.
Been living on the Capricorn Coast for 1 year now. When I was living in Brisbane, I wasn't hugely social. I still found it easier to make friends just by going to the pub or to the cafe or something like that. But here, I find it a bit harder.
Okay, that's interesting. Difference between being in Brisbane or being in a regional area. Emma's in the country. Here's what she thinks.
I find in the country that everyone's really friendly, but it's hard to get real mates. Whereas in the city, there's a lot of people who are also trying to seek new connections. So I think it makes it easier in the city.
That's so interesting. So maybe you build the friendships deeper in the city. This is The Shake-Up. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Danielle Healy and Maggie Zhao. Maggie, any thoughts on this? Are you a city person or a country person?
I'm born and bred Melburnian, so I can't pull from personal experience. But my friends...
Well, you can. You can say whether you're rude or not.
I do think that country folk are kinder on a whole. My friends from the country, they're always the first to offer lifts, to cook your dinner. Aww. But sometimes they're too polite that you don't know if they're just offering out of, like, responsibility.
Oh, okay. So you've got to take it with a grain of salt. Daniel, are you city or country?
I'm a city boy, Sydney born and bred. Thank you. Don't know if that's insulting or not. I think it's not necessarily about where you've grown up, but how you were raised and who you were raised by. I've met plenty of friendly people in Sydney. When I'm walking my dog, you say good morning or you give a gentle smile. I saw the video of this guy and I kind of just felt like it was a bit sarcastic, the way he was talking to the people that walked by him. I could be wrong.
Rage
that could be
bait,
him.
Perhaps.
Maybe some rage bait. It's interesting. I did a little pub test of my own. I asked some friends that have lived in Sydney and have moved interstate. A lot of them were very much like, no, Sydney is the rudest bunch of words that I can't say on the radio in the Southern Hemisphere.
Really?
Moved to Brisbane and the Gold Coast, loved it, although they said that the Gold Coast was kind of a bit hostile and it's only good if you're straight and white. And then I've had friends that have moved back to Melbourne and they've gone, no, Sydney's far more friendlier. So again, it's a subjective human experience, I think, based on who you just have the fortune of meeting and running into.
Because I've lived in a few different areas. I'm from the country. I'm from a tiny town. I do feel like I was brought up saying hi to everyone. Like every car you pass on the road, you give a wave to. I always find it a bit awkward when I go back that I have to get readjusted to that situation. But maybe it depends on the city as well. Like, you know, I don't know whether it's fair to lump all capital cities. No. When I was up in Darwin, everyone loved to have a chat. It was like chat central. We've got messages coming through. Someone says country people are always better. They do the farmer wave. They do the farmer wave. I'm an expert at the farmer wave. I don't get to do it much in the city.
Radio. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. No one's gonna say it. Someone says, Bakesy says, I'm in Sydney and I always say good day and good morning. It's a time factor as well. Some people are just way too caught up and busy. You got to do that. You got to say good day and good morning. Someone else. I grew up in the country, now live in the city as an adult. They're both rude, but in different ways. However, both can also be lovely. Okay, well, that's just the most in the middle position I've ever heard in my life. And another person says, I think most people in the country are friendly. I think city people are probably often afraid of interacting. Yeah, that probably makes sense a bit, Maggie, especially after COVID.
We've got to train ourselves, though. I love a little wave, a little hi. At the very least, give a little nod. That won't hurt you.
Yeah, give a little nod. A nod takes nothing, right? Thank you so much, Shake Up Crew. It's been such a fun time, and we appreciate you coming on, getting all your expert takes. Host of the Culture Club Pod, culture and fashion writer Maggie Zhao. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you so much, Dave and Dan.
And Seven News journalist Daniel Healy. And enjoy the week and at work.
Happy Friday to the both of you.
Yeah, it's going to be hard and going to be tough for us. Just kicking back, relaxing, enjoying that.
Send me photos.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, chameleon summer. Yeah. beautiful. Awesome. And a big thanks to the hardworking Hat crew, executive producer Stephen Smiley, radio producer Eva Blakemore, and our reporters Angel Parsons, Shalala Medora, April McLennan, Ariana Lucente, Alice Angeloni, Jackson Worthington, and a massive thanks to the wonderful Grace McKinnon for all her hard work over the past few weeks. I'll be back after the weekend.